Being Father's Day, we're going to digress from keeping the morning message in the context of the evening service, and we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, for our Father's Day sermon this morning. Here in chapter 20 of the book of Exodus is recorded for us God's rules for a happy life. We read in the psalm this morning that the law of the Lord is perfect. In the first psalm, it declares how blessed is the man who meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. How fruitful, how rich, how fulfilling his life will be. God has given us 10 rules for life. The first 4 rules deal with our relationship with God. And that is first, and that is primary. If you do not have a right relationship with God, you really can't have a right relationship with your family or with your fellow men. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Then everything else will be added." And so it is significant that in the first table of the law, there were 2 tables upon which God inscribed the law. The first table of the law dealt with man's relationship with God, getting into a right relationship, how God would have you to relate to him. And then the second table of the law deals with man's relationship with fellow man. And I feel that it's significant that this second table of the law, as we deal with human relationships, that the top of the list is the relationship within the family. As the Lord commands, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, Paul notes that this is the first commandment that God gave to us with which he attached a promise. And the promise that God gave to us, if we will honor our father and our mother, is that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is a recognition that the most important relationship as far as the strengthening of a whole nation is the family relationship. It is the primary relationship. A nation's existence depends upon the strength of the family unit. If there is a strong family unit, the nation is strong and will be abiding. It will last. Where there is a breakdown of that family relationship, then there is a breakdown throughout the whole moral structure of the nation, and that nation cannot exist very long where the family structure has broken down. So honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God has given thee. How blessed are the children who are raised in a home where there is a loving, secure environment for them to grow up in. Where they feel important, where they feel wanted, where they feel sheltered and secure. If you grew up in such a home, as you count your blessings, put that near the top of the list. What a blessing it is to grow up in a godly influence in a home where people love and people care. The commandment to honor thy father and thy mother presupposes that the fathers and mothers are fulfilling their responsibilities before God in their God-given roles as parents. And God has given to the father one of the most difficult of all responsibilities. For as a father, I am to be a model to my children of their heavenly Father, so that when my children kneel beside the bed and pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven," because my relationship has been such with them, that they know that they are loved, they know that they are secure, they know that their dad will stand by them, they know that their dad will defend them, they know that their dad would, if necessary, die for them, as they pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven," they feel that sense of security, that sense of love, that sense of being wanted and belonging, so that they don't have a hard time relating to God. And so it is my responsibility to live before them in such a way that it will make them very easy, that they can make the transition of relating to God very easily, because their earthly father was a loving, kind, good dad. Now, I must confess that I have failed many times to be a true representative of God before my family and before my children. There have been times where my reactions were unlike God's reactions, and I have failed. Just this past week on vacation, we had our two daughters with their families with us so we could thoroughly enjoy our vacation to enhance the time that we had up at the lake. We have four of our grandchildren with us, and the cabin that we were in had a loft. And so two of our granddaughters, which are cousins, wanted to stay in the loft. They had sort of a, you know, Heidi kind of a, you know, living in the loft or sleeping in the loft kind of a thing. And it was, you know, an exciting adventure for them to climb these very steep stairs up into the loft. And it had almost a, you know, storybook kind of a feeling for them as they would climb the steep stairs into the loft. One evening they had a little disagreement, and so the one granddaughter decided that she was going to sleep in the cabin next door with her parents. And so that left our other little granddaughter with the prospect of having to sleep in that loft by herself. But only being 7 years old, that was sort of a scary kind of a prospect. And so as I went into the bedroom to go to bed in our double bed, here she was sitting and propped up next to her grandmother. And I was bushed. I'm not used to all of the exercise that I was getting, skiing and hiking and everything, and so I was really tired, and I knew that in a double bed, the three of us would never make it. And she said, Grandpa, I don't want to sleep in the loft because I don't want to sleep up there by myself. And the bed that I'm in, the springs go boing, boing, boing on your back, you know. So I made my way up those steep steps and climbed into the boing, boing, boing bed. But I was so tired, so exhausted, I fell right off to sleep. I didn't even notice the boings, really. I was just exhausted. I went right off to sleep. But hardly was I asleep, but I was being paged. Grandpa, come downstairs. There's a big spider on the ceiling. And in this almost hysteric call, I was awakened out of my sound sleep. And as I looked at those steep stairs going down, half asleep, being called to kill a spider on the ceiling, I said, "Ah, nuts!" She picked that up. She can say it with the same inflection of voice, exactly like I said it. All week long, I've heard, "Aw, nuts!" Just exactly like I said it. I mean, she has it down pat. I pretended like I was a brain surgeon and I was going to cut that out of her memory, just take those DNAs out of there so that she would forget what Grandpa said. But even last night, talking to her on the phone, she's home now. She says, "Hi, Grandpa." "Ah, nuts." I mean, she rubs it in. But you know, as I hear her say it, though it's so much alike what I said, I laugh, but yet there's a bit of pain. Because I feel, and I know, that in my tired outburst, I failed to truly represent God. I represented that God could maybe be tired and reluctant to help when there is a frightening experience there. That God was a little upset to be disturbed when he was resting or doing other things. And that hurts me, that I should misrepresent God before my little granddaughter, that he might be saying, "Oh, no," in sort of an exasperation when she needs help and is calling on him. I've asked God to forgive me. And I know he has. I'm glad that God understands my weaknesses, and I'm glad that God realizes that I'm just dust. But yet it hurts. It hurts me to think that as a grandfather, I should perhaps misrepresent God to my little granddaughter so that when she kneels by her bed and prays, "Our Father, which art in heaven," she might think that he's reluctant to come and take away those things that frighten and scare her. The Bible tells us that one of the signs of the last days would be a breakdown in the family. It said in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Their interest in pleasurable things will supersede their interest in the things of God. They would be covenant breakers. And that men would be without natural affection. We are living in those days described by the scriptures. We see people without natural affection. When men fall in love with other men in a romantic way, hold hands and gush over each other, and kiss each other, that's not natural. That's weird. And any attempt to sell me on the premise that that's a natural affection, I can't buy it. The natural affection that a father has for his child is very pure and very wholesome. Your children in your own mind are always sexless. I have two of the most beautiful daughters in all the world. These daughters of mine are absolute beauties, physically, spiritually. They're beautiful. And yet, it is so impossible for me to think of them in any kind of a sexual connotation that I have absolutely no understanding for a man that could sexually abuse his own children. That's why I make a very poor counselor. I have absolutely no sympathy or understanding for that kind of a father. I don't want to counsel him, I want to kill him. And thus I make a poor counselor. That is so totally foreign to my own mind. And yet when I read of the statistics here in Orange County, according to the social services of Orange County, in one home in 10, there is child abuse, sexual, emotional, or physical. So as you drive home, every 10 homes you pass, in one of those homes, a child is being abused without natural affection. Imagine the hurt and the harm that is done to that child, and how difficult it would be for that child to say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." My heart goes out to those children. I want to say, "Come and let me be your dad, and let me try to represent God before you." It is such a totally gross misrepresentation of God. I I know that there are some sociologists and psychologists today, and let me say, not all. Thank God, there are some excellent Christian people in the area of sociology and psychology, but there are some stupid ones that try to say that incest is a healthy, wholesome relationship. But they are perverts and they are fools. God gave to us the rules of life. And when God gave the rules of life, he condemned those who would be guilty of incest to be put to death. It's not a natural affection. Fathers, ours is an awesome responsibility. When my first little girl was born, standing there in the hospital corridor, looking through the window and seeing that crib that said Baby Smith, the awesomeness of that responsibility suddenly hit me. As I looked at little baby Smith, I realized that she was going to be looking to me for the next 18 years or so to provide a roof over her head, clothes for her body, and food on the table. She's going to be looking to me as her daddy to take care of her needs. And I felt that awesome responsibility of, I'm going to have to feed her, clothe her, shelter her, protect her for at least the next 18 years of her life. It turned out it was a little longer than that, but As I stood there looking, the awesomeness of the responsibility hit me. I thought, wow, can I do it? Yes, I must do it. I will do it. With the help of God, I will do it. And I was so excited. I so wanted to take that little child into my arms and hug her then, but they wouldn't let me touch her for a few days. But one day, that little bundle there was going to be saying, Daddy, I need some new shoes. Daddy, can I have the keys to the car? Oh, help, Lord. And I was aware of my responsibility before God to be the kind of dad that would make it easy for her to relate and to say, Our Father which art in heaven, and feel warm and feel good and feel secure and feel loved. A couple of years later, in Tucson, Arizona, at Grant's Medical Center, when I looked through the window again and I had my boy, I realized the same sense of responsibility. Now there are two of them that are going to be looking to me. But as I looked at my boy, I realized I had a further responsibility because for him, I'm going to be a role model. He's going to learn how to react and respond to his wife as he watches me react and respond to my wife. He's going to learn how to be a husband. I'm the role model for him. He's going to learn how to relate one day in the future to his own children as he watches how I relate to him. I'm going to be the model of the father and of the husband. And his success as a father or a husband will be largely dependent upon the model that I set before him. And so I realize what an awesome responsibility I have as this role model for my children, my boy. To my sons and daughters. With this awesome sense of responsibility came also the realization and the sense of inadequacy. God, I'm just human. Lord, I have my flaws. I have my failures. And I realized I was not adequate. As Paul the Apostle, when he was talking about all of the responsibilities that he had in starting so many churches and in taking the gospel in the various areas, and he said, and who is sufficient for these things? And as I realized the responsibilities I was facing, I said, and who is sufficient for these things? I realized it was more than what I could handle. But Paul then said, but our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of Christ. There's my help. There's my strength. There is my enabling. What I can't do in and of myself, he will do for me. He will do through me. You see, this is what makes the Christian gospel what it is. Up until this point in my message this morning, I could be talking on within the framework of any religion. For all religious systems recognize the importance of the home, of the family, and of the role models and leadership and all. That's just good morality. They all do that. But to lay out before me my responsibilities, awesome as they are, all it does is totally frustrate me because of the consciousness of my inability to do it. I'm not perfect. I can't be perfect. And that frustrates me because I know I should be a better role model. I should be a better dad. I should be a better husband. Show me the ideal. I say, all right, I want it. I like it. I approve of it. Yes, that's what I would like to be. That's how I would like to relate. But that can only frustrate me because of my human frailties and weaknesses. But that's where the whole Christian gospel comes in. Not only does Jesus point to the path and say, this is your responsibility, this is how you're to live, but he acknowledges you can't do that yourself. Therefore, if you will open up your heart and life, I will come in and I will dwell within you and I will live my life through you. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will then be able to be all that God wants you to be. You can live in a way that will please Him. And he gives to me that strength and that capacity and that power. to fulfill the God-given responsibilities that are incumbent upon my being a father. So that what I cannot do and could not do within myself, He does for me. As He strengthens me, as He helps me, as He molds and shapes me into the man that He wants me to be. And by the grace of God and the help and the strength of His Spirit, I'll never say, "Aw, nuts," again when I've been disturbed from a quiet rest. Because I felt the pain of failure. But thank God He forgave me. And He will give me strength. And by His grace, I will be the man He wants me to be. The dad and the father and the grandfather that He desires that I be. And the husband that I should be. I'm going to make it with His help and with His strength. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today for the help of Your Holy Spirit, and that we can lean upon You and receive from You that strength, that capacity to fulfill the responsibilities of being a father, a husband, the kind of father and husband that pleases You. For You are our strength. You are the power. And by Your grace, we will be the men You want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I look at all that God has done. I look at my family. My beautiful daughters, my great sons, and my glorious grandchildren. And I realized how blessed I am. I have to believe that I'm one of the most blessed men in the world. Today I celebrate 40 years living with the same beautiful gal. What a blessing she has been in my life. How good God is. We all need His strength. There are always those times when we have to call upon Him for that reserve that is beyond us. But thank God He is there. And He will help. And He will strengthen. Maybe today, you're very conscious of your own failures. You feel your need of help. You'd like to receive the help of the Lord to be the man, the woman you should be. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. The pastors will be back there to pray with you. And you can discover today God's enabling power through His Spirit. The Lord bless you. Give you a beautiful day. Keep you in His loving grace as you walk in a right relationship with Him, which will bring you into a right relationship with those around you.